You're listening to Steve Bertrand on Books. Mary Margaret Miller, Mimi, is about to lose her home. Her family's lived in Miller's Valley for 200 years, but the government says it needs to flood the valley for a reservoir, and Mimi's home will soon be gone to her. Or will it? That, for me, is the question behind Anna Quillen's novel, Miller's Valley. Others have different notions about what it's about, but for me, this book is all about home. Anna Quillen joins us now. Welcome.
Hi, Steve.
How far off am I?
Oh, you're not far off at all. I mean, look at the James Baldwin quote that opens the book. Home is not a place. It's an irrevocable condition.
Miriam is the mom and a strong woman, but described as strong. I think in one review, strong but not powerful. This is not a powerful family.
Well, they're powerful within their own community in that way that people have been in a place for a long time and are sensible and down to earth sometimes are. They're not powerful in terms of money. She doesn't have any kind of real position aside from her work as a nurse. But she's somebody that everybody takes seriously when they speak.
I jump a little ahead of myself because this book starts in the 60s with Mary Margaret, known as Mimi. She's selling corn along the lane from the farm. Miriam is the mom. And, you know, I guess you're known very much for writing about mother-daughter relationships and things such as that. That's what I was alluding to earlier, that people might say that's what this book was about rather than home.
Well, I think one of the most fascinating things about going on book tour with a new book is that readers tell you things about your own book that hadn't occurred to you.
Yeah, does that truly happen?
Oh, yeah, all the time. And it's because so much of writing fiction takes place on a kind of unconscious level that when someone says to you, did you mean to make this sort of connection? Your first thought is no, and your second thought is, maybe I did.
Okay, so is that in your head the next time you're writing a book?
No. I mean, when you're writing a book...
Here's what I asked. Kazuo Ishiguro, right, came through once, and I was talking to him about this and about how he doesn't like doing book tours because his readers tell him things about his books that he doesn't know. And then they become sort of part of his conscious when he's writing the next book, and he worries that it gets in the way.
No, I feel that way about reviews, which is why I never read them positive
or negative.
Oh, good.
I brought
negative.
Some in. I'll read some to you.
No. Don't do it. Don't do it. I mean, the problem is that when you're writing a novel, you're not writing a novel. You're living in a world. If you're not, then you're doing it wrong. And the outside world shouldn't intrude on that. And reviews are just noise. And even the good reviews say, well, she did this particularly well. And you're working on a new book and you think, I'm not doing that with this book. Uh-oh. So just minimize the noise. That's my mantra.
We've got Mimi living in Miller's Valley. And the home, the area is threatened. There's going to be a reservoir. It's pretty clear early on. And so it's this family as they deal with that in the background. But that's sort of like just an overlay through all of this. There also is the story of Mimi's brother, Tommy, who goes off to the Vietnam War and comes back a withered man. He's withered by the war, never recovers. And you have said about that character that you like to write about our sort of social amnesia, or the fact that we don't remember the fact that we relive what we do, or we don't learn from what we've done in the past.
I think that's a very American trait. That we
distinctly American?
In some ways, yes. I think if there's any nation in the world that lives in the moment, it's this one. In fact, we take that as a positive attribute, living in the moment. And part of it is because our entire history in the span of world events is kind of a moment as compared to France or China or the like.
So that we're destined just to keep making the same mistakes or not at least evolve from our mistakes.
I think we're not so good at learning from our mistakes in America.
Anyone make the argument that you're writing about Donald Trump supporters in this book?
Well, the creation of this book predates
I'm sure it does. Yeah.
The Trump candidacy. And I don't think that these are people who would necessarily be sucked in by the Trump candidacy. But certainly they're disenfranchised working people of a certain strain.
Let me read you a line because it struck me when I was reading it. You could tell, this is of the people of Millers Valley, you could tell by their last names that people who lived in the area were originally from Germany or Poland or some of the Slavic countries, but they'd been Americans long enough to have flat files and made up their minds. And it goes on a little bit to talk about these are the people whose living situations hadn't risen or fallen over generations, but who carried a little bit of those street paved with gold illusions and were always annoyed when the streets were paved with tar. And in a way, it sounds to me like those are the sincerest sort of disenfranchised voters who are so active on either side of the cycle this year.
Well, that's true. I mean, we've lived through a period of enormous change during the last 50 years, which is what this novel is about, particularly change in the lives of women. And I think it has left some people becalmed in a way that's very uncomfortable.
We are retelling the story, I guess, through the characters one by one. Let's go to Ruth. Ruth is Mary Margaret, Mimi's aunt, Miriam's sister, who lives in a house adjacent on the farm, a small house, and doesn't leave the house.
She is what we now in our parlance of self-help refer to as an agoraphobe. But, you know, this book is all about home and what home means. And I'm a real homebody. And I'm someone who, given my druthers, might never leave my nest.
My wife can't stay in the house and I don't understand it. You know, if it's the weekend, I don't want to leave. I'm happy to always be there.
Yeah.
She might be there, Ruth, for other reasons, though. It's never altogether clear, but it looks as if there are things keeping her inside.
Well, I think someone who literally can't leave the house, who when Mimi is a little girl and standing in the doorway trying to coax her out onto the lawn, freezes in the doorway and then backs up, probably does it out of some kind of trauma.
Yeah. And I mean, there are threats to her safety that and she still stays in her home.
Absolutely. I mean, when Millers Valley, which is very water responsive, floods on one big night, she goes up to the attic and won't come down.
Okay. So I'm not going to read reviews to you, but I'm sure you know they're lovely. The New York Times was a very nice review, but one thing the only thing they didn't love was the character of Donald.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald is this young kid. It sort of almost reminded me of the Harper Lee story in the beginning, these three kids, To Kill a Mockingbird. You know, Donald
LaRonda,
was this...
LaRonda, Donald, and Mimi.
Yeah, this Donald was this little outsider kid. He's around for a while, he goes away, and he comes back. And to me, Donald is home. He's like the home person in this whole book. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes,
at all?
Absolutely. And for Donald, who has had a very peripatetic and uncertain life because his mother appears to be not such a great mom, the time he spent with his grandparents in Millers Valley and the time he spent with Mimi in Millers Valley, even though he was very young, feels more like home and security to him than anything that comes after.
Yeah, and almost becomes to Mimi, I think, home. It becomes her home in a way.
Well, yeah.
If the geography's gone, he's the emotion of it.
And also he's the safety of it. I mean, I think most of us have one person in our lives who provides such a connection to who we once were in the most safe and secure way that when things get tough, they're the person we turn to. And yeah, he's that for her.
A line from the book, "No one ever leaves the town where they grew up, not really, even if they go."
It's absolutely true. I mean, it's embedded in you.
It's I'm being awarded by my hometown this weekend. It's odd that this comes up, and my friends, my best friends through life, have been foreign born, the Netherlands or Colombia, and so we have a lot of talk about ethnicity. And I'm from the country, an hour from here, and I say I've always answered, well, I'm a small town American. You know, I'm not Irish American or French American. It's small town America. And I think that's why I connect so well with Millers Valley. I think that's what's there.
Well, it's definitely a huge theme in this book. And the idea that they can raise it, they can build a Walmart on it, they can tear down the houses and bury them under 40 feet of water, and it's still alive in your head.
Anna Quinlan, it's a wonderful read. It's so nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Steve.
I'm Steve Bertrand. You're listening to Steve Bertrand on Books.